couple of things before we open up the Word of God. If y'all would get that song, "You Asked Him to Leave" by Wilburn and Wilburn. And we want to play that one for invitation if we could. I'm also going to change the scripture that I used for opening text. I had Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to change that to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 and verse 15 is what I'm going to read. Before we open the book this morning and begin to read, and I'm going to try to absolutely give you the things that God has laid on my heart, I want to just mention to you, I got up here a while ago, I was so excited, I missed it, so I want to share it with you now. Let's be in prayer for Brother Allen and Tracy Davis. Last night, Tracy had to go to the emergency room. She was having pain in her side, and Tracy is having emergency surgery this morning at Paulding County. She has appendicitis. And, you know, just pray for them. Thank the Lord they caught it in time. But let's pray for them and pray for fast healing, that God would put his hand on them. They've got a trip coming up, and we want them to be able to enjoy that. You know, they're hard workers here in the church, and they spend a lot of time here. They'd be here, but they're up there, and let's be in prayer for them. In your Bible, Jeremiah chapter number 6, verse 10 and verse 11a, and I want to read these verses, and then I want to give you a preface just to understand something out of Jeremiah chapter number 5, and then I'm going to try to bring the things that God has laid on my heart this morning. But my heart is very, very heavy. My heart is heavy as I look at what's going on in our nation, and I look at the condition spiritually of our nation. You say, if you look at the church here today, and we were here last Sunday morning, and God moved. You pray for me, because the devil don't want me to preach what I'm about to preach. But last Sunday morning we were here, and I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit came down. People, moved, and people moved, and the altar was full, and, we want God to move. I want God to move in my life. Last thing I'd ever want is get to the point that God didn't speak to me, that God didn't convict me when I was wrong, and God didn't come into my heart and my life and let me know that he was real. You know, when God speaks to me about something that's not right in my life, folks, that's evidence that I'm one of his children. If not, it might be evidence that you need to get saved. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to be saved. Amen. We played a song just a few minutes ago, and I played it, and, the man that wrote this song was a preacher, and he wrote it and gave it to these little girls to sing, and they travel around with their daddy singing it, and he said, "We go in churches, and these people got up and left and walk out the door and tell us not to play that in their church. Radio stations that won't play it, what's the name of the song? I'm not going to hell." Well, I'll tell y'all something this morning. I'm excited because I'm not going to hell. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe the Word of God. And here's the problem with America today. If Christians would get honest and be what God wants them to be, the world wouldn't be running over on us. Now, I'm a little bit excited. Now, I'm going to read something out of the book of Jeremiah, and then I'm going to try my best to share with you the things that God's put on my heart. But this is Jeremiah when he's talking about the destruction of Judah. In the 10th verse, he says this as a preacher. He says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. And behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." And then he says, "I am full of the fury of the Lord." Now let's go down to the 15th verse and look at what he says about Judah at this time. He says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Now, if you go back to the 5th chapter, what's going on is it is outlined the sins of Judah. And here Jeremiah is preaching to a nation or a people that have fallen far away from God. In the 1st through the 6th verse, their sin is perverseness. In the 7th down through the 9th verse, their sin is adultery. In the 10th down through the 17th verse, it is impiety. In the 18th down through the 31st verse, it is spiritual and civil corruption. Now, if you look at this nation and you look at what's going on in the world, I want to tell you something. My heart's heavy. My heart's heavy because when I see what's going on in our world, honestly, sometimes I am amazed that God is able to hold back and not pour out his wrath, vial of wrath on this country. You say, well, you ought not to preach like that. I tell you what, when a mayor of a city will stand up and they'll pass a law to where a full-term baby can be aborted, and as Christians, that'll break your heart. We need to fill these altars up right now. I don't even need to preach. But when I hear those things, it breaks my heart and it grieves me. And as I begin to think about it and I begin to think about this message, you know, back several months ago, there was a political race going on, and there was a comment made during that race, one of the liberal candidates regarding the politically correct culture, and here's what they said. They said, you do not want to be on the wrong side of history. Now, what they were talking about is how America and how the left is becoming more and more and more progressive. And folks, I'm not trying to preach politics, but I want to tell you something. If your Christianity and your religion don't line up with the way you vote, I'm sorry, something's wrong. Something's wrong with that. We say we're saved, and we put candidates in office that are pro-abortion, that don't believe in the sanctity of life, that don't believe marriage ought to be between a man and a woman, and they don't believe that you even have rights to raise your own kids and teach them about Jesus. We need to get right with God, and then we wouldn't be in the shape we're in. Amen. See, the context of this statement was referencing the rise in the societal tolerance of and the intent of avoiding the slightest hint, they say, of discrimination toward the LGBT, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. But now here's the problem with that. It's not that people want to go and live the way that they want to live and you leave them alone. They're not satisfied with that. They want to put it in your school system and in my school system that I must teach it to my children or else I won't be able to have them even, I won't be able to even control their lives. Folks, that's wrong. Yes. That's wrong. Amen. It's wrong for little boys to think that they can go into the bathroom with little girls. It's wrong. Yes. I don't care if your friends do it. I don't care if your family does it. It's wrong. Yes. See, the challenge was to get on board with the trends and the increasing acceptance of these specific lifestyles as they become the norm. Now, church, here's something that we practice this here. Y'all know me. Y'all have heard me preach enough to know that I believe we ought to love everybody. We ought to try to help people. We ought to have a place where people can come without being judged, and we show them the grace of God. But when we tell them about the grace of God, we're not going to pat them on the back and say, oh, it's all right. Just come on in. I want to tell you something. There's some things that are not all right. See, history's been made. In New York, just in the past few weeks, they passed a law to where a baby can be aborted right up to the day that it's going to be born. Now, that's close to me right now because I have in our family in about another 9 days a little girl supposed to come into this world. I looked right over here, brothers, you brought that little baby in. I looked at her, saw how she's growing. She's already crawling. And I thought about that little baby. And I want to tell you what this does, and this is the way that it is in our society. Right up to the day that baby's to be born, even to the time that the mother's ready to give birth, if she decides that she does not want to have that child, then she can go in and have an abortion, and that life can be taken. I want to tell you something. I heard people say it just outside this morning. We were on the porch. One of them said, when I heard that, I had to pull over on the side of the road. And I said, God, what's going on in America? Another person said, God, what's keeping your wrath from falling down? I want to tell you what's keeping it from falling down. I was going down the road this week driving home from work, and I was troubled. I reached over and got a CD and popped it in, and I started listening to these little kids that were up here just a few months ago singing. And they were singing about Jesus, and they were singing with their daddy. And I could just imagine Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's saying, that right there is why I'm still long-suffering. That right there is why my mercy is still full, because people are still worshiping and serving God. And here's my heart's desire and prayer. And I don't know. I can't tell you when Jesus is going to come. But he's coming. And before I want to see the wrath poured out on America that America is fastly heading toward, I really want Jesus to come back and take his church home so that the people of God that love God do not have to suffer with those that have wrath coming to them. People say, well, you don't believe that, do you? Yes, that's what the Bible teaches, folks. It says in the 6th chapter and the 15th verse, it says when they committed these things, they didn't even blush. You know the one that guy stood up and announced that they're passing that law? You know what everybody in the house did? They stood up. And they did that right there. Based on the authority of the Word of God, not my opinion, because my opinion means nothing, I challenge you to consider what is really the right side of history. See, you can believe something wholeheartedly and it can still be wrong. Have you ever tried to pick paint colors out with somebody that's colorblind? It's tough. I had a CEO one time come to our plant, and he was from the tire business. We don't sell tires where I work. We sell aluminum. And I was trying to talk to him, and he was asking me questions, and I was giving him the answer, and it got to the point my nerves were just like that. When you tell somebody that wall is brown, and they say, that is green. That's where we're at in America today. You can believe whatever you want to. Radio station listening this week. Guy called in. He was fussing about us conservatives. And he said this. He said, that is not a baby that's being aborted. That is a fetus. And I thought, how ignorant. Fetus is simply this, folks. It is a Latin word. You know what it means? Unborn baby. You see, in our society today, because we don't want to hit things directly, we change it to a Latin word. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of that going on today. We change it to something and we don't want to call it what it's supposed to be. It's wrong, and if it's sin, it's sin. And if it's sin, when this book was written, it's still sin today. They can tell you that the earth simply created itself. You know why people say that? I've studied it enough to know. When I had public speaking in college, I enjoyed it because every time they give me an opportunity, they got preached to. Amen. I studied and I had these verses and I went back and I had these quotes from scientists. I had quotes from Darwin. I had quotes from Julian Huxley. I'll tell you why scientists believe in evolution. They'll tell you because they will not bow to a living God. And the only opportunity outside of evolution is creation, and a pagan is not going to bow to God. And I want to tell you, pagans, I don't care whether they're sitting on the Supreme Court or in the White House, they don't overrule the Word of God. They can tell you, you come from Mars. Some people believe that. The list goes on. Now let's just consider it. I'm going to move through this as quickly as I can. Y'all think about your Bible. And think about the wrong side of history. Think about Noah and Noah's ark and the great flood. When Noah was building that ark and he built that ark on it for 120 years, just a few souls escaped. Could you imagine people coming by and they're looking at him building this ark and they're mocking him? They're making fun of him. And they're saying, well, we've never had water around here that would float anything like that. You know what he was telling them? He's saying the end's coming. Trouble's coming. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on this nation because of the sin of mankind. And you know what they did? They mocked him. But I'll tell you, those that mocked him ended up on the wrong side of history. You go on to Genesis chapter number 19 and you find two cities. The name of the two cities were Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels came and they spoke to Abraham, and Abraham, knowing the sin of the city, he began to try to bargain with the angels. But the angels went down there to the city, and there was one man in that city whose name was Lot, and he knew God, he knew of God. But I want to tell you, the scripture says that the sin of that city had gotten so bad that it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. They went to that city and they went into that city, and the people were so wicked that rather than seeing and understanding that God had sent a visitation, they even wanted to get worse. The angels came to the door and they smote the men outside the door that were pressing the door with blindness. And I want to tell you something. Those people ended up on the wrong side of history, because the Bible said that it rained fire and brimstone down on that city. Now, I want to tell y'all all this. Ain't nothing I'm telling y'all I wrote, okay? So if y'all don't like it, you take it up with God.
Amen.
It's not mine. What if you go on a little farther and you find where the children of Israel, they go in to Egypt and they go there to get corn, but after a period of time, there's an evil Pharaoh that rises up that doesn't know Joseph and Joseph's family, and he makes workers out of them and slaves out of them. God sends Moses to deliver them, and they're heading out of Egypt, and they get down there by the river, by the Red Sea, and as they're there, there's a pillar of cloud that God puts between the army and the people, and the people of God can hear them whispering through the cloud. The next morning, that wind had blew all night, and that sea had departed. The people of God, they begin to make a cross, and God took care of them. You know what Pharaoh thought? He said, I'm going to get them. They pursued after them and they got in that water. But I want to tell you something. God made the wheels of the chariots fall off. They begin to stumble over one another. I believe just as soon as the last person of the tribe of Israel stepped out on dry land, God closed that water. And I want to tell you something. Pharaoh and all of his army ended up on the wrong side of history. Take it a little farther. We read what Jeremiah said, they wouldn't even blush. You come up to the days of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world, and the Bible says he had no sin. What did he do? He healed the sick. He gave the blind back their sight. More than one time, he raised them from the dead. He went around preaching the gospel. He took 2 fish and 5 loaves and he fed a multitude, and he had compassion upon people. And he came ultimately to bring salvation for the whole world, and they took him and placed him on the cross of a criminal. And as Jesus is traveling, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 25, 4 and 25, says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see you to it. But listen to what the mob said. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. They didn't even understand what they were saying. They didn't understand it. And today, when I hear people and the things that they say and the way they act, do they really understand where they're at when they stand before God? A little farther in the book of Acts, what about the stoning of Stephen, the first deacon? Scripture says they cried with a loud voice. They stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Now, folks, what was Stephen doing? He was just preaching to them Jesus. He's doing a lot of the same thing that I'm up here doing this morning. People look at me and they laugh and they say, look at him jumping around up there. He's so excited. Do you believe that? Does he really believe all that? Well, let me tell you something. I do believe it. And I do it. I preach it. Because as Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus don't come back, how can God hold his wrath? See, Jesus himself gave us insight into this day that you and I are living in. I want to read this to you. This is Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 27. See, as they were leading Jesus away, there are things that Jesus said to the crowd, and then there are cries that came from the cross. But this is something that Jesus said to the crowd in Luke chapter 23 and verse 27 through 31. It says, and there followed him, speaking of Jesus, as he was on his way going to Golgotha. It was a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. There were some that were weeping. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Here's why. Look at verse 31. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And here's what Jesus was saying. He said, if they take the Son of God, Jesus Christ that came into the world, he's speaking of himself, and if they take knowing and seeing all that's been done, understanding the prophecy which was given to them, with Jesus in their very presence, if they crucified him, what's going to be done in our day? And then the things that he's given reference to when he's talking about blessed are those that never, basically telling people, they'll be looking around at each other saying, oh, you don't have any kids? You're much better off in this day and time. Oh, you don't have any children? Well, that's good, because we didn't know where we were going to get our next meal. You see, here's what I believe, folks. I believe Jesus is coming. And my heart's desire and prayer is, as he did come and take his church home before the wrath is poured out. Because I believe there's going to be a vial of wrath poured out on this country. When Jesus Christ comes and takes his church, the people are going to actually be crying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him. And they'd be saying, blessed are those who never had children. Blessed are those who never had to hunger for a meal. What do I fear? Hungry children. That's it. I don't fear man. Well, they're bigger than you. Don't matter. Still don't care. I fear what our youth might face in the future. I fear hungry children. See, it's already happened in New York. Now, Virginia's talking about it. It's already happened in New York. I thought it would be California. Now, California's talking about it. Now, let me let y'all in on something, because I've been studying this up for years. They don't want to stop with a full-term baby. Right. There's a group out there right now that want to extend it to 18 months old. Are you appalled? We ought to already be appalled. But I heard them say, I tell you why we want to extend it to 18 months, because there are families that don't have the financial means wherewith to take care of these children. And after all, up to 18 months, they don't remember anything anyway. You say, well, how can people believe that? How do people believe what they believe today? You say, well, that'll never happen. Remember a president, Clinton, several years ago that run on partial birth abortion? There's a group out there right now that if they find out you're a Christian, they want to mock, they want to make fun, and they want to ridicule and say there should be no person that actually believes in God running for office. Let's don't forget that this nation was founded on biblical principles, and we're here today because God has opened the windows of heaven and poured them out on us to allow us to have what we have. And if we don't rise up as Christians and serve God and live for God, and I want to tell you what that means. That means get involved in your church and support your church. Bring your children to Awana. Bring your children to Sunday school and serve God. They say, well, we'll get us another preacher. I'll go fishing, but I'll be right with God. We find excuses for everything in the world to keep us from being what God wants us to be when the world around us is on the way to hell and we don't even have enough of a burden to get in an altar and ask God to save us. Let's consider in our day the wrong side of history. You know, one thing I studied, and this is past, this is history right here. It's history. It's the Enlightenment. Y'all remember the 60s? Remember the roaring 60s and Woodstock and the Volkswagen buses with the flowers? Y'all kids just have to look at pictures, okay? And I'll tell you, you know, you look back at that and you think, oh, Lord, Jesus is coming. Nothing compared to what we experience today. What did they do? It was rising up. It was questioning authority. It was rejecting truth and the declaration that God is dead. God's not dead. Most of them are. What about prayer being taken out of schools? Have you ever studied that? It was just a little, I think it was an 11-word prayer that they would pray, kind of like every morning they would say it. And basically all they said was, God bless us. Pour out your blessings upon us. God the Father, or something along the lines of that. You know, somebody said, well, I'm offended by that. I don't believe in God. Well, let me tell you something. One day they will.
Yes.
One day they will. What about abortion rights? Millions murdered. Roe v. Wade. One person rising up. Now, I'll tell you something. God is not going to force you to serve Him. He's not going to force you to live anyway. But I want to tell you something, church. We don't have to allow the world to tell us that we can't believe what the Bible says and continue to drag us down. And this is something that happened recently. What about major retail stores saying, well, we're just not going to sell the Bible anymore? There are chains out there right now, very popular, that if you study some of the things that they've said, they said, we don't need Christians' money. You know, it's not just legalization of full-term abortion, but this governor up there in New York, he's made statements in the past that New York is not a place for conservatives. Now, folks, I don't want to go to New York. They'd kill me up there. I am as Southern as I can possibly be, and I know that. But America's changing. But God's not changed. And what we need to understand as we open our word based on the authority of God's word is God is getting things ready to come back and take His church home. You know, people say, well, I've heard that all my life. But didn't Peter write and he said, there's going to come scoffers walking after their own lust. Here's what they're going to say. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. In other words, here's what they say. I've heard that preached all my life. Did you ever think you'd see what you're seeing today? I did. I really did. Let's talk about history in the making and I'll be done. Here's history in the making. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11 says this, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. And by the way, this is New Testament, not Old Testament. Writing to Paul. Same guy wrote about grace, okay? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What did he mean by that? It means we preach, we tell them, we care for them, we love them. You know, church gets a bad rap because they say, we're just a bunch of intolerance. No, we're not. If you're going to get real help, you get it here. The problem with the world is going crazy, and when they go to a secular psychologist, they say, oh, you're the new normal. When in reality, sin is about to destroy them. He said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Okay? History in the making. It's a great day. A historical day. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Here's what it said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. See, the phrase, wrath of God, appears 7 times in the book of Revelation. When I read the Bible, I would never confuse or accuse God or Jesus of being politically correct. See, I think a lot of the problem today is we got too many preachers that are politically correct. We got too many church members. They're either being led by, and I'm talking about in general. I'm not just talking about this church. I mean, you got to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. I can't. Too many people that are politically correct and their heart is not broken by what they see. See, I believe the wrath of God is coming on those on the wrong side of history. And here's the danger. We don't know when Jesus is coming. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. What if he stays is coming another 100 years? What if he does? Do we really believe that what we see progressively happen in this country can continue and the wrath of God not fall? What would you think in 5 or 10 years that New York or California or some liberal-based society said, we've extended the opportunity for you to abort up to 18 months old? So if a doctor looks at a child and they say, well, this child's not going to live a normal life and they can't live a life that's whole and it's legal. It's been talked about for years. When will we get to the point as Christians that we say, even so come, Lord Jesus? See, the history of the church is coming. And history is going to be made, and I believe it's very important that we understand and we don't end up on the wrong side of history for you and I. Because when the Lord comes and he takes his church out, and I believe he will, then that's when I believe that the wrath is going to fall on this earth. When people talk about the tribulation period, folks, I can't even describe it to you. But I believe it's coming. And I believe what the Bible says, that every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how many lawyers you have pushing your agenda. When you stand before God, you're going to bow. And I believe there'll come a time, we talked about every person standing before God, that God's going to take and he's going to open the book. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what he's going to be reading? History. And he's going to look in there. And he's going to look for the name of Tommy Bruce. He's going to look for the name of Rick Gravett. Brother Billy, he's going to look for your name. And there's a lot of people, just like was read in the book of Jeremiah, just like what's going on in this world today. They mock God. They push God aside. They make fun of preachers like me. They say, you and I are crazy for believing that. But you know, when they stand before God, and they will, he's going to say, I'm looking for your name. How many of you have ever heard that song, Please Check the Book Again? Remember that old song? Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, but I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go. There's somebody in this house this morning. I feel it. There's somebody here this morning that God wants to save. There's church members here this morning that need to fill this altar. And you need to get busy working for God and quit making excuses. Because if we don't do it now, history may say it's too late. I'm done. Play the song. Stand to your feet. Don't go out of here right now without doing what God wants you to do, because it may not ever be like this again. Where we once were.